Butcher McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness.
They have to get it with no timeouts. They do. Florida wins.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Greenberg is in beautiful Avon, Connecticut, while Dockage is rolling over right now, putting a little more sunblock on and hanging out in beautiful Maui, Hawaii. So if you hear a little bit of static, I mean, we got to cross a big old ocean to make this podcast possible. D squared, I know you love your Maui gyms.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know that, but you're not dressed like Mike Bray.
I wish I was. I'm dressed like Mike Bray every day of my life, except during games. I've never seen it, and I love it. Mike Bray with the Notre Dame T-shirt, the shorts. All he needed was some flip-flops and a towel, and my man was beachwear going. Oh, man, if he had a cold, I wouldn't be surprised if the cup he drinks out doesn't have a little bit of Maui.
Don't even start that. All right. First, let's go over a little bit of news, and then we'll go over what's going on the court. Michael Porter has shut it down. He's having surgery. Obviously, a serious back issue. A guy that people thought might have been the first or second pick in the NBA draft, a guy that was supposed to take Missouri and bring him back into relevance. A guy that makes everyone else on the court better. My first take is a little different than everyone else's. Obviously, we want him to have successful surgery and a great rehab and, you know, get back and healthy as soon as possible. But my first take is, you know, their family went back to Missouri. His brother reclassified and came back and graduated a year early so he could play with his brother. His dad's an assistant coach there. His dad was a women's coach at Missouri back in the day. This is like for him, it was going home. To me, that shared experience now will never really take place. And I in a lot of ways, I feel for the family because I think that would have been that would have been just a great story to have two members of a team help bring back the basketball program in their hometown. Their dad is an assistant coach. That will never happen. I'm hoping, obviously, Michael will be healthy. What's your take on it?
Well, I agree with that. And let's take from a basketball standpoint. You know, we focus so much on the NBA. You know, everybody's got to get to the NBA. And assuming his surgery goes fine, that part will be fine. But, you know, he was such a highly publicized guy, a guy that people really wanted to see. And I hate when that happens for the kid more than anybody else. But I also hate when that happens for college basketball, because if you're going to have a one-and-done rule, which we have, we may not have, but we have it right now, then you want to see the guys that are one-and-dones, you know, play. You want to see how good they are. You want to see if they can lead a team, if they can go Carmelo Anthony. So I agree with all of what you're saying, Seth. But, you know, it's a loss for college basketball. And college basketball is taking a lot of hits. I'm not saying it's a devastating loss. I'm just saying it's a loss. And that's too bad, because it would be nice to see Missouri and its incredibly passionate fan base, come back and have some success. But they don't. They got to get better. They got to move on.
A couple other things. Louisville's made some changes. Obviously, Bowen now is no longer going to be a part of the Louisville basketball program. He was obviously a focal point of the FBI investigation. Allegedly, accepted $100,000from the Adidas people to attend Louisville. And Kenny Johnson has been relieved of his duties. He was on paid leave. Now he's been fired. I'm sure he'll probably challenge that. Did you ever think there was any chance that Brent Bowen was going to ever suit up for Louisville? I mean, like, I know for a while they said, well, you know, that, you know, he was going to plead that, you know, he didn't know what was going on. It was something that his dad did. It was kind of the Cam Newton story. Did you even have any feeling whatsoever that there was any a chance that he would end up playing basketball at Louisville?
Let me ask you a question. I'll answer it with a question, which is never a good thing.
Oh, answer it with a question.
Okay, yeah. Did you ever think not only him, but did you ever think that Kenny Johnson was anything but fired as well?
No, I didn't think. No, I didn't. I totally agree with you.
But, yeah,
you
both know, things.
We don't talk about. Yeah, I thought that Kenny Johnson, until the FBI investigation was over, would remain on salary unless the internal investigation now, you know, states that, you know, they found something
sure.
that they were uncomfortable with. So, to me, all this is just a matter of time. And Louisville said all the right things. The kid's been a great kid. And, he can stay on scholarship. I'm interested to see how the NCAA handles this. I mean, is Brian Bowen going to be eligible to play anywhere knowingly having taken $100,000 to attend school? You know, what's your gut feeling on that?
I don't think you can. I guess you can make all the excuses. I guess, as you said, Cam Newton set the bar. Hey, it's my dad. It's not me. I didn't know. And that, you know, that worked. That worked for everybody. But I don't see how you possibly can. But, again, people will outcry, I guess. There will be an outcry for him to play. You're cheating the kid, blah, 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 blah. I don't really understand it. I don't understand how you're cheating anybody. Like, it's basketball. It's not life or death. There are certain rules. You follow them, you play. You don't follow them, you don't play. It seems very cut and dried to me. But I guess that's how I roll. But, no, I don't think that he will play. I don't think that he should play. And it'll be interesting moving forward because the NCAA, Seth, I know you know this, they've been told to stay the heck out of this until the FBI, or they've been told by the FBI, stay out of this until we conclude our stuff here and we'll let you know when you can come back in. So I don't see how there's any way that the kid plays until something happens with the FBI, and that could be years.
That could be years. I mean, that would be interesting. I mean, that's going to be interesting. How about on the court a little bit? Creighton, I have been so impressed with them. They can play fast. They can play slow. They are active and aggressive defensively. Kyrie Thomas has been absolutely terrific. Marcus Forster, that backcourt in general has really, really, to me, been incredibly impressive. I mean, just incredibly impressive. I love how they play. They're a terrific passing team. The Big East in general could get seven teams. I know it's a little early, but the top of the Big East, Xavier and Creighton and Villanova and Seton Hall, those are four teams that are second weekend teams to me, it looks like.
Seth, I was going to say that I think Creighton's really good. Obviously, McDermott's good offensive coach. He always scores, 100 against UCLA. But I'm with you on the Big East, man. I look at the Big East and I say, all right, what's easy about the Big East? I mean, there's nothing easy about the Big East. We didn't even mention Butler. I mean, Butler's got a chance, in this tournament down in Portland to play against some good teams, including Texas. I just think the Big East has shown itself to be as good as you want. And Creighton certainly among them, Xavier among them. I watched Seton Hall.
Ooh, I love Seton Hall.
Yeah, dismantle a bad Indiana team. And I don't think Seton Hall played particularly well. I kind of think Seton Hall was just out there for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they decided, we're old, we're not losing to this team, certainly not at home, and they went and did it. A little like what we've seen out of Wichita State here in Maui. It's just when it's time to go, and away we go. So I'm interested in seeing as the season progresses and as this offseason, as this preseason progresses, I'm interested in seeing how good they are because I think they're the best team or best league in the country, but I know this. I know they're right there, and they're damn good, the whole league.
I'll tell you another team that's really good, Texas A&M. They're going to get J.J. Caldwell back, but I'll tell you what, I mean, think about it. Is there a better front court in college basketball? Tyler Davis scores on the block. D.J. Hogue knocks down jumpers. Robert Williams plays above and beyond the rim. And then you got Tony Trotcher-Morelos, who kind of does a little bit of everything. So to me, that's the most complete front court in college basketball, including the Duke front court and the Michigan State front court. What do you think?
Seth, I give credit to Penn State for just hanging around in the game. Yeah, I mean, they played them yesterday, and hey, look, so we turned it on at the table before our game, and next thing you know, all Texas A&M is doing is throwing it up in the air and dunking it with their ear. So I'm watching them. They're running. They're jumping. As you said, Hogue makes shots. It is – when I watched them, I thought to myself, all right, they shouldn't be this close with Penn State, so good for Penn State. But this is as athletic a front court. this is a team that looks, has the look right now, assuming nobody gets injured, and I think we almost always have to say nobody gets suspended. This has a look of a deep run team and possibly a Final Four team, and I couldn't agree more about that front court. My goodness, are they athletic. And oh, by the way, Seth, as I'm standing here, I got three chickens coming at me. I'm standing in the road here outside of Lahaina Civic Center, and I'm either going to get plucked or I'm going to have dinner. Because they're walking around here just hanging out, and if they come at me, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have myself a nice, fresh, freaking chicken dinner tonight if they come at me, because I ain't running. I am not running.
The information that you share with us, Dan, is second to none. Now, speaking of information,
yeah,
to me, the biggest surprise of the season on the other side, Iowa. I mean, coming into the season, Bohannon, Cook, Pencil, I thought that as sophomores, this group was going to be special. Now, I know they lost Peter Jock, who could really score, but I thought maybe they'd be better defensively. I am shocked at how they're playing right now.
Seth, they played better last year without Peter Jock. Peter Jock went out. They were having some issues with him, so they just kind of sat him. One of the things was injury. Here comes the slaughter truck, by the way. But anyway, Peter Jock, they played better, and it kind of turned their season around. I'm stunned. I think Fran McCaffrey does a great job with his team, but you can't say he's doing a great job with this team. Because this team, even though the kid Bear, who was sixth man of the year in the Big Ten, has been out, they have lost and not played well in losing to teams that they should beat by, with all respect that I can possibly muster, that particular veteran group should be able to show up and win those games. So I don't know if this is accurate, if you went back and looked at the schedule of Iowa, but it seems like this happens every year. It seems like Iowa might lose at home to somebody that they shouldn't, or it seems like they should lose a game. But now what you do is you put yourself, like, as we move forward, you better go win 10, 12, 15, 13 games in the Big Ten to get in the tournament. It kills you long term to have a stretch like they're having right now.
Now, do you think that, and I know that Fran's committed to this, I mean, he's playing 11 guys. Now, I'm looking at right now, they're playing right now. Bohannon's got 20 and Pencil's got 20. They're at this moment in time, they're beating UAB. But, I always thought you start the season, you get eight playing well. Then, you got your front court sub, your wing sub, and maybe a ball handler. And then, all of a sudden, if you want to add a guy, you see if someone earns it, you maybe get a ninth guy going. But to start this season playing 11 guys, I think it's just a hard early in the season actually to develop any type of chemistry. What's your gut?
Well, I think that he did this before, and he likes to do it. He's going to press some. He thinks he needs guys. Maybe guys have earned it. And I think that's tough. I do. I think that, it's not the same as if you've got two quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks. It's not like that, because quarterback is such a different thing in football. But it is like that in terms of who gets the reps, who develops a relationship on the court with another guy, who, a chemistry, it's unspoken, it's unknown. You can't really define it, but it's there. And when you watch a team play basketball, and I go to Notre Dame yesterday, it's unbelievable the chemistry they have. So I'm with you on that, Seth. Look, he's decided that that's what he's going to do. He's the guy that's there every day, so I'll defer to him. But I think it's fair enough to question that, and I think you're going to see as the season moves on, Iowa's going to get to where you were talking about, eight, maybe nine, not 11, not 12. No way. No way can you do that throughout the course of the season. Yeah.
Now, you're on the West Coast swing. You got Hawaii, and then you go to the sunny, balmy Portland, Oregon for the PK-80, celebrating Phil Knight's 80th birthday. I'm sure your 80th birthday will be similarly celebrated.
Yes.
To me, it's a collection of history, tradition, championships, elite players, elite coaches, but let's take a look at it a little bit. Like the motion bracket. I know you don't have the bracket right in front of you, so I'll help you out here. Motion bracket, you got obviously Portland State in there, but you got Duke, Butler, Texas, Florida, Stanford, Ohio State, and Gonzaga. To me, obviously, the collection is ridiculous. To me, the best opening round game is Butler, Texas. I think that has a chance. Mo Bamba, you know, they're handling the ball better. Last year they had more turnovers and assists, Texas. Now they're only averaging 9 turnovers a game, but they really have only played 2 games. Butler, they got 3 guys back that have a ton of experience, and Tyler Wideman, Kamar Baldwin, who I think is one of the most underrated guys probably in the whole tournament, and then Keelan Martin, if he takes good shots, is a hard matchup. How good do you think that game will be?
I think that game is terrific, and I think you mentioned the important guys. Keelan Martin is a guy that could lead the Big East in scoring. Kamar Baldwin, has been over the court. No, I did. Kamar Baldwin, I think, is as clutch a guy, you know, as there is. And look, I'm a big believer in Shaka Smart. Like I always said, going back 5, 6 years, whatever, when people said, hey, you know, this guy is out at this major program, who would you hire? I always said Brad Stevens and Shaka Smart, and, you know, you guys can figure it all out after that. And I love the guy. But, you know, like everybody else, you go into a new program totally out of your area down in Texas. You got to win. I mean, let's face it. If you're at Texas, they care about football recruiting, but they don't care about who you may have or may not have gotten, you know, Mo Bamba as a recruit. They just want to see you win. And if you win, we'll fill the place. So I think it's a big deal for both teams. You know, Laval Jordan coming in there as a Butler guy. You know, he needs to win. He needs to establish what Barry Collier and Thad Matta and Lick Leiter and Brad Stevens and Chris Holtman did. So I'm going to tell you, and I know I'm biased about this, Seth.
Ohio State Gonzaga. I know
I'm
you're coming
you,
out here.
Man.
Ohio State Gonzaga.
Hey, you said it on Keita Twitter Bates the other
Thia.
Day.
Keita Bates-Thiap and Jashaun Tate. They're pretty good now. Those are great men.
That's exactly right. Keita Bates-Thiap makes the whole game look easy. He's 6'8". People forget that he was there, you know, last year and coming on. Then he got hurt, and Jashaun Tate just went in for 24, and he does it in a man's way. So, hey, look, I get my kids on there. I get it. You know, you're biased, Dockage, blah blah blah. I'm just telling you. When I watch every minute of every game, that team can play now.
CJ Jackson pretty good.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He turns it over a little too much, and Chris is losing his mind between him and Tate just turning it over, but he can shoot it. He's athletic. He keeps the ball in front of him. Look, this isn't a – like people are making this out to be a Tom Crean to Indiana rebuild kind of thing. This is not that. He's got some dudes, and I'll tell you what, Michael Potter.
How good is Michael Potter? Like Michael Potter and Wesson, how good are those guys?
I think that Wesson's got a chance to be special. I think Micah Potter's got a chance to be one of those guys. He's got to make shots, but he is 1,000 times better than any – like most people going, who? Micah, who? Well, you'll know him by the end of Portland because if he's healthy. Now, he's got an ankle. But if he's healthy, he scores it inside easy. He can shoot it. He has not done that yet. Do you know Micah Potter has never swore in his life? He lives with my son along with Andre West and Caleb West.
Well, he'll learn to do that shortly.
That's what I told him. I said, Andrew, look, I've never met a great player that didn't go out a little bit and didn't swear, so get that guy right, you know?
and Gonzaga's going to be interesting because you got those two. Well, one's a fifth-year junior, a fourth-year junior, and one's a senior, Silas Melson and Josh Perkins, the backcourt, Killian Tilly. Obviously, now it's his turn to step up. Jonathan Williams, you know, is extremely athletic. I think those games in that bracket are going to be good. Now, let's flip to the other bracket. The game, to me, Arkansas-Oklahoma, to me, that's not for the faint of heart. I mean, like, Oklahoma, this guy Trey Young is balling. You know, you got Christian James making shots. You got Cameron McGusty making shots. And then this guy Brady Manick, holy mackerel, freshman. He's like a 6'8" pick and pop guy that makes plays. Kadeem Latin's a better scorer now because Trey Young makes plays. I mean, and then Arkansas, you got three senior guards. Good thing to have in a tournament like this. So that's going to be a heck of a game, don't you think?
Hey, Seth, think about this. It was like the first week of the season. The ACC player of the year was Marvin Bagley, right? Freshman. The Big 12 player of the week, excuse me, not year, week, was Trey Young. Like, so these, you know, guys don't come in trying to figure it out anymore. You know what I'm saying? Guys are just coming in and balling. And yeah, hey, look, Mike Anderson with senior guards, we'll play it, we'll pick it up, we'll pressure you, we'll make it miserable for you. So then you've got some freshmen against it. I don't think a lot of people around the country will look at that game and be enthused about it, but they'll pick up the game maybe at some point during the day, and it'll be like, damn. look at these two teams going at each other. So, no, I'm with you, man. I'm excited to see those two teams. I really am. There's a lot of guys. I'm excited to see Bamba from Texas. I've never really seen him play. There's a lot of guys out there at schools like that I can't wait to see go.
Yeah, Colin Sexton out of Alabama. I watched him yesterday. He is really good. I'll tell you the team that I'm an idiot. I'll qualify myself. Who's really surprised me, and it's really stupid. You're going to say you're really dumb. North Carolina looks really good, and I'll tell you what. I mean, Kenny Williams making shots, and that's great. And he's back and healthy, and that's terrific. And Luke May, what they've done. I mean, that guy was a late recruit, and then these two young big guys. I'll tell you one thing. Sterling Manley. That guy can play. Garrison Brooks can play. I mean, like, they are really – they look like Carolina. I mean, like, you know what I mean? I mean, like running up and down the court, you know, they're alert defensively. They're taking charges. I mean, they just look really good.
I've always said this, Seth, ever since – I don't know, going back to whatever year they pounded us and we were like number two in the country with a bunch of guys that you never heard of. I really believe this. I think Roy Williams can take me, you, Gabe, Linda Cohn, and my wife and go win games. Just, I don't know, he just gets a certain way and away you go. Remember, you know, you're talking about young bigs. I don't know where he is now, but remember last year that what's his name, Bradley, that big kid that reminded me of Brad Doherty?
Yeah, Bradley.
Yeah, he declares for the NBA, and I'm thinking, man, this kid could have been, you know, the guy. And all of a sudden, forget about it. Here comes two more, and they play Roy's way. They post up strong, playing that high-low. You know, I think they're great. I do. And again, usually with North Carolina, you can name every player, right? You can you're throwing out names that 99.9% of college basketball fans that are fans are saying, who the hell are these guys? I know Joel Berry, but don't talk to me about anybody else. And so, no, I swear to God, Roy Williams can do it. I swear he could win with the three chickens that are over here, me and you, and away we go.
Yeah, and you know, a short while we're going to have a chance to visit with Scott Drew, who had a tough game with Creighton. But before you go, Baylor, I'll tell you one thing. Names change. They all look the same. They got long dudes that run and jump. They play that 1-1-3. Manu Leconte is really, really, really a nice player.
Andre Leconte was a great tennis player. Let me ask you a question, speaking of that 1-1-3 and everything else. If you went back into coaching today, let's say not today.
More zone.
Next year, okay. Yeah. Would you go to zone?
More zone. Yeah. Because the way the rules are now, containing dribble penetration is more important than maybe, you know, you can play zone around people off the three-point line. All the people say, you can't guard a three-point zone. Yes, you can. But, yeah, I think that you've got to keep the ball out of the lane. I think that all those flat ball screens people are sending and step-up ball screens and spacing and the drags and everything else, I think that extending my defense three-quarter court to limit your exposure, I think I would do more. I would play a little bit more zone, or change defenses for sure. But Seth, that 1-1-3 is good.
Seth, in the tournament here in Maui, for 34 minutes and 54 seconds, basically, Wichita State had nothing, zero, for Cal's zone. And then all of a sudden, this big kid Shaq Morris said, all right, to hell with the zone, I'm just stepping in on you. And I'm going to crush you, and then the press. But I'm telling you, I watched a really good perimeter game between Shamet and this Reeves kid.
Just be
throttled, nothing by his own for, again, I don't know, 35 minutes. I mean, nothing. I mean, you know, rushing shots. You know, people always say, well, zone. You said it. You can't guard a three-point line and offenses get comfortable. No, you can speed a team up playing a modern-day zone. And as you said, with Baylor, with that 1-1-3 and the way they spread it and the way they recover, I'll tell you what, you can speed guys up. You can run them off the three-point line, and you don't have to guard all that ball screen stuff that kills you all the time and puts you in foul trouble.
Yeah, and you recruit to it. I think that's what Scott Drew does a great job with. So, well, Dan, I know you've got busy things to do. You've got to go pick out another pair of Maui Jims to wear today. I mean, do we have a different pair every day?
We shared. We have our wife, my daughter, my stepdaughter. So instead of taking all four pair, I spread the I shared the sugar, as Steve Lavin used to say.
What a good human being.
Let me tell you what happens when you, as you well know, because you traveled with a posse of women. I'll tell you what happens when you travel in my circles. I'm the only guy. Nobody goes to the games but me. They look at me like I have three heads when I say, hey, you want to go to the 9:30 Chaminade game? And no. And it cost me a fortune to come here. So there you go.
I'll tell you what. You know what you got to do? Everyone who's listening to us needs to listen to Mike Leach's rant when a sports writer asked him. He said he was getting married. And he did he have any advice during the course of the preparation for the marriage? If you have a chance, I tweeted it out on Seth on Hoops. Listen to that 2 minutes. It's the greatest 2 minutes in history. I'm just telling you. It's the greatest 2 minutes of history. In history, I should say.
I love Mike Leach. I went on vacation with Mike Leach, Urban Meyer, and it was epic in the Florida Keys. It was epic. Let's put it that way. What stays
all
in the
right,
Keys, or what happens in the Keys, stays in the Keys. All right, my Keys. Friends.
Hey,
thank
enjoy
you all.
It. I'll be tuning in shortly. Have fun, man.
Peace.
We'll be back in a moment with my conversation with Scott Drew. I'd like to welcome in Baylor head coach Scott Drew. And Coach Drew, I spent a good portion of this week so far watching your basketball team. And by the way, the spread was not the spread that you would expect at ESPN. I'm sure your charter plane home. I'm sure your charter plane home and the spreads you guys had this past week were a little bit more elaborate. But you've always played good people early. What did you try to learn about your basketball team this past week?
Well, the last 4 years, if you look at the ESPN RPI numbers, we've had the number one strength of schedule in the country. And it playing in any Power 5 conference, you got to be battle-tested and ready to get ready for conference play. And we've always thought that the better teams you play in the non-conference, and really with RPI nowadays, there's nothing to lose. If you lose, it's still not going to hurt you RPI-wise. So we try to get our guys as good a competition to see what areas we need to work on so we have a chance to be successful when conference comes around. Now, before we go any further, you're telling me feast week. We don't have a full buffet, a Thanksgiving meal, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in Bristol. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm going to be in there tomorrow from noon. I should say Thursday from noon to 9. So I will report back on the spread for Thanksgiving. I can tell you one thing: it won't be Karen Greenberg's spread. There won't be that cream corn, and it won't be hardly as good as sweet potatoes with marshmallows. So I will report back to you on that one, but it won't be the same, that's for sure.
That's
speaking
the right
of your
answer,
team,
by the way.
Oh, no doubt about it, especially because she's in the kitchen. I'm in my office. She might be listening. Your team, it seems like the names will change, but your team remains the same. How have you been able to? You gave me a stat the other day when we were talking. 11 straight years, been rated in the top 25 at some point in the season. That's insane. Sweet 16s, Elite 8s, guys going to the NBA, player development. How have you been able to have the consistency you've been able to have over the last 11 years?
Well, as you know, it starts with talented players that fit your system and are going to work hard. But once you get that culture going to where you have the right people that are upperclassmen, it's amazing. And Seth, you know this from your coaching days, we'll say something and it means something to them. But when a senior or junior says it, it just means more. and after you've had some success in the program and you have upperclassmen that believe in what your program's about and has pride in it, what it stands for, it's amazing just how much they're able to influence and help the young people, your freshmen and sophomores, grow. And that's been the key to success. So what I would tell you is you have to have obviously talented players, but when you get that upperclassman leadership and that culture where, hey, this is how we do things, and if you do this, you're going to be successful. So really the kids get the credit because they deserve it.
Front court players, you've had a bunch of them, and it seems like each and every year another guy steps up. I got a chance to watch Joe Achul last year. I said, he's got a chance. Mm-hmm. I watch him this year. He's shooting threes. He's driving it from the high post. I mean, originally he was a rim protector, a rim runner. Have you ever had a player make that type of jump within a year?
Well, actually, we've been blessed with some great frontline guys like you talked about. Epe Udoh was somebody who averaged 6 and 5 at the school he was at before he transferred. His next year, he averages 14 and 10 with us and ends up had 97 assists on the year and ends up being the 6th pick in the draft. And he kind of started the process because he helped mentor Quincy Acey, and Quincy helped with Perry Jones and Corey Jefferson. And then it gets passed down to where Jonathan Motley, and Jonathan Motley's helped Joe, and Joe's helped our younger guys. So the big thing is when they work out in the summertime together, and as we all know, they like playing one on one, and when they're on the perimeter and they're doing a lot of stuff out there, I think that helps them obviously with their confidence and development too.
Yeah, I mean, like Terry Mattson, he's taken a huge step forward as well, hasn't he?
Yes, he has, and he's somebody that he has two great uncles, basketball players, both very successful, and they've helped him in his development. And they say he's the most skilled out of all of them. So anyway, we're really pleased at how he's been able to come in and really help us, especially on the offensive end, and rebounding has really improved for him as well.
Yeah, I mean, like all those guys right now have the ability to, you know, step out and make a play, and it's great. But backcourt play is going to be the key, and you've got an interesting backcourt because Manu LeConte obviously transferred from Miami. They had a stacked backcourt. He's come in and pretty much made a seamless transition. What do you expect of him, especially in a league in the Big 12 that has such good guard play, and you're even adding more guards like Trae Young, you know, over at Oklahoma? You think about Devontae Graham. I mean, you go right to Keenan Evans. I mean, you've got Javon Carter. Yeah. I mean, there might not be a league in the country that has a good guard play, point guard play, especially as the Big 12.
Well, and Seth, as you know in coaching, if you don't have a good point guard, life is not nearly as fun. So we've been blessed to have some great point guards. And the big thing with Manu is this year, after playing with the Belgium national team this past summer, we really thought that he improved his leadership and his game going against those national team players all summer long. He gets more separation off the bounce. Defensively, he's really improved, and his desire to be good on the defensive end has been something that, as you know, he's the one that sets the pace on the defensive end. Everyone's watching how the point guard guards. So if it's at the top of the zone or man for man, they set the precedence. So he's really done a great job. And as you know, it's one thing to have talented guards, another thing to have talented guards that are experienced. And the great thing is Manu is an older guy that's seen a lot, so he doesn't get rattled easy.
Big 12, you know, everyone says, yeah. Each and every year, we end up starting the season talking about other conferences. And then it seems like we finished the season talking about the depth of the Big 12. But yet everyone will say, well, you know, Kansas, they've won 13 in a row. How good is the league if the same team wins the conference every year? What would you say to that?
Well, what I'll tell you is why we've been RPI-wise the last 4 years, number one, number one, number one, and number two, isn't because of one team. And one team doesn't make a league, and you're right, Kansas has won it. They've been exceptional, but what's made our league really good is that number 10, number 9, number 8, number 7, they're not a chopped liver. And there's great balance and depth in the league. Anybody can beat anybody. Last I saw, we had 4 losses. So 3 teams in the Big 12 had losses thus far. And, I mean, there's no easy place to play, and that's what makes it a great league. And night in and night out, as you know, when you play everybody twice, there are no secrets, and it's tough to grind those out over 18 games. But at the end of the day, the balance in the RPI is what makes it such a good league when it comes to tournament time and allows multiple teams to get in, obviously.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, you guys could get 8 teams in the tournament this year. I mean, just starting off the early season, the success that you guys have had. And it seems like the league has been able to stay old. You guys have been able to stay old. Kansas State's been able to stay old. Oklahoma's getting older now with McGusty and James, and obviously they added an experienced point guard, but obviously that is so important. So as you come into the holidays, obviously you got a couple more weeks before finals. What are you trying to get done with your team in the next few weeks prior to start of league play?
Well, we'll have a couple days off right now, and then we get right back at it. We go to Xavier on Tuesday, and you know Xavier looks like a top 10 team, and Coach Mack does a phenomenal job, and they got a lot of tradition and a lot of talent, and they're a lot of experience, especially after their run last year. And then we come home, and we have Wichita State. So, you know, coaches like to go into holiday and not have much stress coming off the holiday, but that won't be the case in our household, that's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've enjoyed watching your team play, and it's, and obviously you're challenging your team and getting yourself ready for the Big 12. The Big 12, to me, right now, I think the Big 12 and the Big East, actually, to me, look like the two best conferences in college basketball. And I want to wish you luck. Look forward to seeing you. Hopefully we can get a chance to see you in person. But have a great Thanksgiving with your family, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road. Appreciate it, bud.
Well, that sounds great. Thank you very much, Seth.
Thanks again for tuning in to today's show. Appreciate Scott Drew stopping by, and Dan Dockich while he's rolling over and putting on a little bit more sunscreen. But we'll be back at you next week with our impressions of Feast Week and looking a little bit about the ACC Big Ten Challenge as well.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockich. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.